Hey everybody, hope all is good. Just a quick note, just so nobody gets confused. Last year, not being a leap year, right, Parshas Tazria and Metzora was together. And this year, because it's a leap year, Parshas Tazria and Metzora are separate. So this week is only Parshas Tazria, but I'm only going to upload the one I gave, the shir I gave last year, even though it's on both Parshios, because as you probably are aware, right, both Parshios have a similar theme, and that being of Tzaras. So instead of kind of, you know, trying to thread the needle and divide the shir into two, right, I'm just going to leave Parshas Tazria and Metzora together, right, and you can use it for this week and next week as well. Hope all is good, and wishing everybody a tremendous, tremendous Shabbos. Okay, everybody, this week's Parsha's Tazria Mitzora. And obviously, the main overarching theme of the Parsha is Taras. But before we get to that, right, there are actually a couple more topics that the Parshas talk about. The beginning of Tazria, again, when I say a couple more topics, right, we're talking about 10 or 15 psukim. And the first psukim at the beginning of Parsha's Tazria talk about childbirth. Bris Mila, the Tumah of Tara of childbirth, right? The Tumah and Tara will be relevant. The korbanos of a woman who gives birth, and then finally, you know, after, you know, 10 or 15 psukim or so, we transition into Tzaras, and that's basically the entirety of Tazria Metzora. Tazria talks about Tzaras on a person, right? The whole analyzation of the Kohen, the isolation of the Metzora, the Tumah of the Metzora. It talks about Tzaras on clothing. The Parshas Metzora talks about the purification process, right? After the Tzaras is healed, you bring birds, you bring cedar, you bring crimson thread, right, etc., etc. Korban, sprinkling, mikvah, shave your hair for a man, all the hair. Wait 7 days, shave again, okay, more korbanos, okay, seder. It moves on to Tzaras in a house, it moves on to Tzaras in a house and how to purify the house, what exactly to do. And then finally, the last topic, underratedly, I guess not underrated, but if you get to the end of Metzora, you're still paying attention. So then it talks about a difficult topic in and of its own right, which is Zav and Balkeri and Zava and different types of emissions that men and women have and the Tumah status of that. I always cringe when I get up to those topics in the Gemara, but okay, fine, not the easiest topics to talk about. So either way, we're going to obviously focus mostly on Tzaras and Lashon Hara. But to start off just quickly, with Parshas Tazria, you know, you can't help but notice the prominence of a Kohen in the world of Tzaras. That's very, very interesting. The Kohen factors very, very heavily. And for example, in order to purify Metzora, part of the process, really weird, if I may even say that, Chas Shalom, process, blood and oil are placed on big toes and big thumbs. And you only really find this type of service, if you can call it that, is one found in one other place, where the Kohanim were inaugurated into the service of the Mishkan. Another example, not really a clear proof, but interesting nonetheless, is that the laws of Tzaras are found in Sefer Vayikra, which is called Toras Kohanim by Chazal, because it, you know, talks a lot about korbanos and stuff that Kohanim are dealing with. The Kohen is the judge and jury when it comes to Tzaras. For example, if a person has some sort of blot on their arm and he hasn't yet shown it to a Kohen, he's still Tahor, even if it really looks like Tzaras. Only after the Kohen declares it to be Tzaras, the person becomes Tameh. Right, and similarly, the Kohen would judge whether a person needs to be secluded for 7 days, if it's like in between, if you're not sure if it's Tzaras. The Kohen would decision whether it was pure. Basically, the Kohen is the arbiter of Tzaras. And even further, the Gemara in Erechim and Daf Tezvav, Tezayin, where it talks about Tzaras and all that stuff, points out that the Big Day Kahuna atones for the same sins that a person gets Tzaras for, right? Gaiva, Lashon Hara, murder, or immorality, etc. And the Gemara writes that Ketores, which the Kohen Gadol brings, atones for Lashon Hara, right? Which obviously causes Tzaras. So we see a lot of comparisons between the Kohanim and Tzaras. And the Shaila is, what's the deal? Why is that? So the Shemi Shmuel explains very beautifully. He says that basically Bnei Yisrael are a nation of pure, holy people, right? A nation whose whole existence is predicated on Kedusha, right? And holiness and purity, etc. And the Kohanim are the purest of the pure, right? They're the holiest of the holy. They're the spiritual leaders, the teachers of the great nation, right? The emissaries, right? Who serve in the Beis HaMikdash, etc. They do the Avodah, etc. So it's only fitting, therefore, that the Kohanim be the spiritual judges for a spiritual malady, for a spiritual illness, right? This is not leprosy, right, as terribly mistranslated. This has nothing to do with leprosy. It is a spiritual plague, not plague, a spiritual illness that comes upon a person for a certain amount of sins. There's nothing, it's not health wise. You didn't stay out in the rain without a coat, and you ended up with tzaras, right? This is something that has to do with ruchnius, and the kohen, right, is the rebbe, right, is the doctor to kind of figure out what's going on with your spiritual self. So what's the, therefore the mumbo jumbo about the thumbs and the big toes and the ears, etc.? Why was the kohen anointed, right, in those parts of the body? Why did we anoint the ears and the thumbs and the toes, big toes of a metzora? Well, the hands and feet are part of the body that are farthest away from the heart and mind, as it were, right? The most important finger on the hand and the most important toe on the foot, right, seem to be the conduit for purifying a person, right, in this scenario, right? A person uses their hands and feet to enable all your physical actions, right? And if your physical self needs to be uplifted and purified or whatever, so that it could serve in the Mishkan, for example, like the Kohen, and so the big toe and the thumbs are prime targets, and so to a Metzorah, right? And the ears, right, are a conduit into the body, right? Gemara Ksubas and Daf Hey, that a person should not listen to, you know, stam chatter or whatever, because it can enter into a person's limbs through his ears, right? We talk about the eyes being the windows into the soul, so the ears are definitely the doors or the windows into the body, really into the neshama also, right? Again, as the Gemara says, right? Again, so the things that we hear penetrate us, right? Again, that's the thing we internalize, right? Very often, a person can read, let's say, a text of Gemara, but until you listen to a Daf Yomi Shir, right, you don't really perhaps internalize it, if that's how you learn. At least that's how I learn, much better, much easier. Again, that's why you have Torah Shebaal Peh, right? It's passed down from Rebbe to Talmud, right? It's not just a textbook, right? It's passed down from person to person with things that we hear, right, go into our minds and go into our neshamas. So to purify every action from here on out, right, the kohen or the metzora needed to be anointed, right, on the ears as well. Right, again, the metzora, the ear that heard Lashon Hara, that got the metzora in trouble in the first place. If the chait was Lashon Hara, there are many chataim, by the way, many sins that the Medrash and the Gemara in Erechin brings, I think, 7 sins, and the Medrash brings 11 that you can get tzaras for. It's not just Lashon Hara, it's just that's the most famous one. Other ones are like Gaiva and Ayin Ra, like being miserly and etc., etc., right? This murder, okay, idolatry, etc., right? You can check out the Gemara and the Midrashim over there. But again, so the ear was also something that the Metzora was listed for Lashon Hara, etc., and the big toes and the thumbs as well, right? They were instrumental, right, for bringing the Metzora to that place where they could have, you know, done that Avera in whatever Avera we're talking about. Okay, I just wanted to point that out because it's such a recurring theme and it's just so heavily invested. I just wanted to kind of mention that. Okay, Lashon Hara. The famous link between Lashon Hara and Tzaras. Again, Gemara and Erechim and Daf Tzayin. Almost the entire, again, as we mentioned, the entire Parsha talks about Tzaras. I thought it'd be Kedai just to read. Again, we all know how bad Lashon Hara is. Right, we all know, if we say, is Lashon Hara good? No. Should we stop saying Lashon Hara? Yes. But a lot of us struggle with even being aware that we say Lashon Hara. So I just want to read a couple of the statements in the Gemara, just in case the Yetzer Hara is very good at making a person doubt what they know is to be true, even though we know it to be true. Sometimes, it's not really so bad. The Yetzer Hara does that all the time. Right, it makes us think that, okay, maybe I heard it's not bad. Okay, what's the big deal? Let's just read a couple of these. So, okay, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra. Kol ha-mesaper Lashon Hara, everybody who says Lashon Hara, kilu kofer be'ikr. He's a kofer. He's not bikoris. Amar Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Amar Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, kol ha-mesaper Lashon Hara, negoyim ba'im alav. Anybody who says Lashon Hara gets negoyim, gets illnesses, gets tzaras. Amar Rish Lagish, kol ha-mesaper Lashon Hara, magdil avonos ad l'shamayim. A person says Lashon Hara, his sins are counted up to the sky. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Mar Ukva, Kol Mesaper Lashon Hara, Roy Lesoklo Be'Even. He's fitting to be stoned. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Mar Ukva, Kol Mesaper Lashon Hara. Anybody who says Lashon Hara, Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Ein Ani V'Hu Yecholim Ladur Ba'Olam. Hashem says, I can't live in a world with this guy. Quotes a pasuk. Right, Tanu Be'er Rabbi Yishma, Kol Mesaper Lashon Hara, Magdil Avonos Keneged Shalosh Averos. Right, anybody says Lashon Hara, it's as if he did the big three, Avodas Kochavim, Gilui L'Rayas, Shrichas Damim, right, murder, idolatry, immorality, right, quotes a bunch of psukim. Lashon Hara is not good. But of course, you know this already. So you know how bad Lashon Hara is. You've heard speeches, etc. You've read the Chavetz Chaim, you read Sfarim, I bet, a lesson a day. Okay, the question is, therefore, why don't we care? Why don't we care? Right? We know how bad it is. We know it's not good. We know if you've ever been victim of Lashon Hara, you know it's terrible. Feels awful. So why don't we care? Why don't we care? In economy, you're not alone. Right? Most people are so desensitized to Lashon Hara, you don't even realize they're speaking it. Right? You don't even, when they themselves say it, you don't realize. When they hear it, they don't realize. But how do we become sensitive to it? Right? And there's so many things in this world that we just kind of listen to and assume that's totally fine. We listen to, sports talk radio, right? Hollywood gossip, politics. Everything on politics nowadays is lashon hara. Why do we all everything? And so much that we expose ourselves to is lashon hara. So why don't we care? Why are we not sensitive to it? And how do we become sensitive to it? So again, the answer is not going to shock you, right? But the answer is not going to shock you at all. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yates, Shema Yomar Adam Natsarti Lashoni Mira, Sosami Debe Mirma, right? Maybe a person says, I don't know how in the world I'm going to stop saying Lashon Hara. Eilech Vizgar B'Sheina, let me just go to sleep, right? I'll just go to bed, right? I can't possibly improve and, hold my speech back. So Gemara says, that's not how it works. Tamalomar, the Pasuk says, Sur Meira Vase Tov, right? Stray from evil, do good. Ein Tov Ela Torah. What is Tov? What does it mean, do good? It means Torah. It means learning Torah. Shneamar, the Pasuk says, Ki Lekach Tov Nasati Lechem Torah Si'al Tazovu. Right, Pasuk in Mishlei, right? I gave you goodness, right? I gave you inheritance, or Lekach, or a bounty of good. Right, it's the Torah. Right, if a person thinks they need to go to sleep, that's not the way to do it. The way to do it is to purify your speech through learning Torah. We have to talk about how that works, but it explains with Baruch Simon, one of the Rosh Yeshiva at YU, right, to refrain from speaking Lashon Hara is not to lock yourself in a room and go to sleep. It's not to become a hermit. It's not to avoid human interaction. It's not necessarily to throw away your phone, although I could give a speech about throwing away your phone also. But that's not what it means. It means what we're trying to do is the goal is to purify our speech. And the way you do that is through learning Torah. Now, the Torah does not want us to become monks or become abstinent. And that's what Ramchal writes. Ramchal writes in Mesillas Yesharim at the end, that the whole concept of the goal of life is Kedusha, is to transform the physical into holiness, right? To eat kosher, right? To marry and stay faithful. It means to speak in Torah, not negatively, right? It means to take the gifts in the physical world and turn it and be Mekadesh it into holiness, right? We don't need to speak less. We need to speak differently, right? We don't need to speak less. I'll say it again. We don't need to speak less. We need to speak differently. Problem is, how does that work? So how does it work to take, if we learn Torah, then all of a sudden we will speak differently, right? What does that mean? It means just sit and learn? That's all we got to do? Like, is that a magic potion? Right? Is that some sort of like concoction over here? So first of all, yes. Gemara Kedushin Daf Lamed, right? It says, famous Gemara, Barasi Yitzhara, Barasi Torah Tavlin. Hashem says, I created the Yitzhara, I created the Torah as an antidote. And I heard from a Frischel Schachter once when I drove him to a simcha, he said that is what you do, whatever realm you're struggling with. The answer is simply to study the halachos of that arena, and you will automatically improve, and you'll become better. Right? So if you're struggling in Lashon Hara, so yeah, you've been through Chavetz Chaim, Sefer Chavetz Chaim, read it again. You read through a lesson a day, read it again. Right, we study the Lashon Hara halachos, but the Gemara in Avodah Zarah in Daf Yates, right, it doesn't seem to be referring to Hilchos Lashon Hara. Right, it seems like it's referring just to Torah learning in general. Right, again, the Ramchal writes this in Mesillas Yesharim, he writes this in Derech Hashem. Right? It seems like Torah learning itself, right, has the ability to transform our speech and our thoughts. And the question is, how does that work? So there's a very, very simple answer, which people don't realize, it's so simple that people kind of dismiss it out of hand, is that our words have power. The words that we speak have power that we don't even realize. Again, we find, just to give a couple examples, we find references all over Chazal about how powerful our words are. And therefore, when a person, I'll give an example in a second, but when a person speaks words of Torah, right, that has a power. That has a power to change the speech that you normally undertake, the speech that you normally do. That's just because you're spending your time and dealing with it. It's not like the famous joke about a runner, right? How do you know someone's a runner? Don't worry, they'll tell you. It's not because you're spending so much time and that's what your life is and you have no choice but to accomplish that. It's because words of Torah and words in general have tremendous power. Right? For example, the Gemara says in Brachos Daf Yates, right, the Tanabe Rabbi Yossi, La'olam al yiftach pe l'satan, a person should not open their mouth to the satan, because the whole concept of ayin hara, a person says something, we say, bli ayin hara, al tiftach pe l'satan, right, don't even open your mouth to the Satan, because the second you open your mouth and suggest something, that somehow gives some sort of power to the Satan. Gemara says in Ksuvas, Daf Samach Beis, that Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Chiyo, was late in coming over Shabbos, and Rabbi Yane said, everybody should start observing mourning, because he's never late, and if he's late, he's dead. Which is pretty intense, but okay. And turned out he actually was late, unfortunately. But because of that, the Gemara says that Yehuda, Rabbi Chiyo, actually died. Because Rabbi Yane said he must be dead, so he ended up dying after that. And the Gemara says not only for the bad, it also says for the good, right? The Gemara Moed Katan and Dafir Ches. It says that Rashi quotes on the Chumash that how do you know that Bris is crucibus for sign that Kosh Baruch Hu has a covenant with the lips? Because what did Avram say? Avram said when he was going to the Akedah, right? Me and Yitzchak are going up there, we're going to bow down and we're going to come back. What did Avram mean? He didn't really mean that we're going to come back, but since he said we're going to come back, right, it gave some sort of koach, right, for Yitzchak to come back. The question is, how does that work? How does this work? What do you mean that the words have power? So I heard from Rav Shai Shechter, right, Rav Shai Shechter's son, in the name of Rav Chanan Wasserman, Hashem Yaakov Damo, is that words are like an axe. Words are like an axe. And the Mishnah says in Makos of Dav Zayin that when someone chops wood, right, sometimes there are chips that fly off and injure other people. Again, that's the whole context over there, is a rotzeach b'shogeg, someone who murders accidentally or with negligence, he has to run to your miklat, etc. But an example the Torah gives is someone's chopping wood, and either the axe itself, the axe flies off, or there's some wood chips, let's say, suggestion over there in the Gemara. So wood chips fly off the tree and they hit somebody. That's how we have to view words. I mean, words have a far-reaching impact, more than we even realize, right? Both when we're speaking it from a Gemara and when we're talking to other people. Because when you're chopping wood, right, you're doing an action with your words, right? You're speaking, you're trying to get your friend to do something, right? Or you say something to a family member or whatever. So your words have two actions to them, two consequences to them, right? The actual request, right? The actual thing that you said, I don't know, get me a cup of water, or that is a nice dress, or whatever, the words, but then the intonation and the assumption and the understanding, the underlying effects of the words that you say. Right, that indicates one way or another. Right, if you ask nicely, can you please get me a cup of water? So a person feels good about helping you. If you ask in a mean way, hey, get me some water, so then that person might listen, but their feelings will be hurt. Or the other way, when you give a compliment, right, if it's sincere, person feels good. That's such a nice dress. That's such a nice suit, etc. But if it's insincere or it's snide or it's, you know, in some sort of intonation, oh, it's such a nice suit. Oh, wow, that's such a nice dress, implying that it's either too nice or it's too expensive or I didn't really know that you can afford this type of things, whatever. The underpinnings behind the speech, there's wood chips that are flying off when you speak. There's undercurrents underneath the words, right? That's an added level of impact above and beyond the actual chopping wood, above and beyond the actual request for water or the compliment on the dress, right? It's a whole level of impact that the words have that you don't even realize, right? We can change our people's moods and mindset with just a few words without even intending to. Right? We know this is true. We just don't realize it maybe consciously. Maybe we do. But it's definitely, you know, definitely something that we have to think about. When we use our words, we have to be considerate of the fact that it's not only the words themselves, but it's also the implications, the understandings that our minds have, right, when we speak those words. Right, especially nowadays with like phones and social media and whatever, just typing out the words, right? You don't feel like you're saying them, right? But we have to be even more considerate the way we say things via text, because sometimes people take them out of context, don't understand exactly what's going on. And certainly during Sfiras Omer nowadays, when we're learning Perkei Avos, Benam L'Chaveros, emphasized, right, that because of Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, right, realize your words are an axe, right? Treat them like a weapon, or treat them like a tool, whichever way you want to view it, but realize what they are, right? And be careful with the words that you say and the way that you say them. All right, as mentioned, the Gemara Erechin and Daf Tezayin, right? It gives a whole list of how bad it is to speak Lashon Hara. Right, counted up to the heavens. Hashem says we can't live in the same world, right, as if you committed the big three. So the first one we mentioned, right, Rabbi Yochanan says the name of Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, it's ki'ilu kafar be'ikar. It's as if you're not bikoros. What in the world? Right, again, some of the other ones I understand. Right, we're not going to go through each one of them. But how in the world, if you say some Lashon Hara about someone, right, are you an apikoros? Right, you still believe that there's a God. You go to shul. You keep kosher. You keep Shabbos. How does it mean you kilo kofer b'ikar? It's as if you're a kofer b'ikar, you're a kofer. So Rav Melech Biederman explains What's the root of Lashon Hara? Someone who speaks Lashon Hara has a chisaron and emunah. Right? A person speaks in many cases, right? Not only, but in many, very often, right? A person who speaks badly about their friend, it's if they believe they've done something wrong to them, or if they've damaged them, or if they've embarrassed you, or if they're upset about their success, or whatever. Right? Again, or maybe you're upset about your own life, and you say Lashon Hara about someone else because you're jealous. Right? All of those Lashon Haras, right, come from a single fact. And that if you don't realize, and that person who says Lashon Hara doesn't realize that no one is able to harm them unless the Kosh Baruch Hu gives that person the ability. Right? Unless there's a Gzer Din and Shamayim, that there's no way that a friend can bother you. No one is going to be able to hurt you. Right? If a person wants to steal money from you, right? But Kosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you to lose money. So either that person will be unsuccessful or you have a windfall somewhere else. You're not going to end up with a loss. Right? The only reason someone is able to injure you or hurt you or harm you or insult you is because Kosh Baruch Hu, for whatever reason, in his infinite wisdom, decided that was necessary. Right? It's a famous mashal of a dog, right, whose owner is hitting him with a stick. And the dog gets angry and bites the stick. Right? That's someone who speaks Lashon Hara. Right? A person who's venting and talking badly about someone who did something to them, yet it's coming from above. Right? You're just biting the stick when you say Lashon Hara. Now, obviously, the person who slighted you is not absolved. Right? They're not faulted. It is their fault. A person punches you in the face, they are liable. Right? They didn't have to be the one who did it to you. Coach Barco decided you needed a smack in the nose. I smacked myself in the nose with my laptop the other day. I pulled it out of my case. I guess I pulled it too hard or we got snucked on something. Smacked me in the nose. I started bleeding. So that could have been either because someone on the street decided to punch me in the face or because I'm a clumsy idiot and I smacked myself in the face with my laptop. Right? So that's coming from a Coach Barco. Right? The instrument, the laptop, or the person is irrelevant. Right? It doesn't matter where it comes from. Right? A Kosh Baruch Hu, whatever reason, decided I needed to be punched in the nose. So if a person really truly internalizes that, right, then there is no Lashon Hara. Because what would you say Lashon Hara about? It's coming from a Kosh Baruch Hu. Right, for example, Rav Melech tells a story about a plumber who once did some work in Rav Chaim Volozhiner's home. And Rav Chaim asked him, when you daven for Parnassa, right, what are you daven for? Because again, a plumber comes when things break. Right? What are you going to daven for people's homes to break? Right, for people's pipes to explode? So a plumber didn't say anything. So Rav Chaim said, I'll tell you what your tefillah has to be. What your tefillah is, for those who have gzeira of tzar v'yisurim, for those who have gzeira to have some sort of afflictions in life, whatever, let it not be in their bodies, let it not be in their ruchnias, let it be in their pipes. So that everybody wins. Right? You got parnasa, and they get a better form, quote-unquote, of tzaris. And again, once a person realizes that everything's coming from a Kosh Baruch Hu, there's no anger towards other persons. There's no reason to say Lashon Hara. What would you say Lashon Hara? This person's just doing what a Kosh Baruch Hu was decided. Person instead looks inward and sees how they can improve, right? And then hopefully will not feel badly. Again, obviously you don't have to hang out with people who punch you in the face and say Lashon Hara about you. But when a person realizes that everything is decided in Shemayim, right, so they'll look inward instead of looking outward. Okay, one last vort. With a really, really mamish, beautiful vort that I wanted to share. Not necessarily, it's related to tzaras, but it's not really a Lashon Hara vort at all. The halacha is that someone who has tzaras has to go outside of the camp. Right? He has to go outside of the Machane Yisrael, and he has to say, the pasuk says, V'tamei tamei yikro. And he has to call out, I'm tamei. And the Gemara in Shabbos, in Daf Samach Zayin, right, says that the purpose of this is to let people know. Right? Maybe you can't see him, they're not close to him. Is to let people know so they can daven for him. And similarly, the Gemara says, what they used to do, I don't know if they do it nowadays, but a tree that would be unhealthy, right, the Gemara says, fascinating, a tree that's unhealthy should be painted red. Right? You give a little swipe of red paint so that people will see and daven for it. And Rav Melech quotes Rav Chatzel Levenstein, the Mashgiach of the Mir, when it fled from Europe to Shanghai, right, during the war, says that, he points out, it's just a brilliant insight, simple insight, but just a brilliant insight. Obviously, the Gemara does not mean that people should see this tree and make a community fast, a day of tefillah, a Tehillim WhatsApp group, sackcloth, fasting, etc. Obviously. Right? Obviously, the whole point of painting a red strip on a tree is someone's walking by, right? They'll see the red strip on the tree, they'll say a quick shalom aleichem or even something short or whatever it is, and be on their way. Says Rav Chatzel Levenstein, look at the koach of a short tefillah. We usually think that the only tefillah that works, right, is this long out, chazanos, crying, tearing our clothing, it couldn't be farther from the truth, right? Even a tefillah katsara, a quick kel na rafan Allah, which Moshe said about Miriam, right? Or in the case of the tree, right? Yechadesh Hashem ha'ilan kavrishonah, or something like that, right? Let Hashem heal this tree and make it back. Even that's effective. A person has to realize that even a quick one-line prayer uttered on the sidewalk of some random street next to some random tree that you've never seen before and maybe never will see ever again, even that has koch, even that has power. Right? And therefore, we see how important it is for us to daven for each and every person, right? If we're going to supposed to daven for a tree, kavachomo, we should daven for people who we hear, right, are in a difficult situation, even just a short tefillah, right, to align ourselves with their pain and sympathize, etc., etc. If the Gemara could tell us to daven for a tree, or certainly a metzora, again, a metzora is not a tzaddik, right? A person is a big-time sinner, right? Remember, lashon hara, kofar be'ikar, whatever it is, all those things that could lead to tzaras. Right, but still, you should daven for him, right? How many of us daven for Ovrei Avera? I don't. How many people daven for sinners? Right, that's why the guy calls out Tamei Tamei Kro. We're not just supposed to leave him alone. We're supposed to daven for them to get better and to improve. Right, Rav Melech tells a story about Rav Chaim Kanievsky. People used to come to him with their tzaros and ask for a Kabbalah of some sort, and he would say in his in the Kedarko Bakodesh, he would say Lit Palo. You should daven. And his grandchildren would ask, we'd be like, what do you mean? The people coming to you, Rav Chaim, the people coming to you are not stam people who don't daven, right? Anybody goes to Rav Chaim, if you ever went to Rav Chaim, people with black hats, these people are from, right? Obviously, they daven three tefillos a day, they go to tefillah b'tzibur, obviously. What Rav Chaim is telling him, any chiddush, right? You should daven? So he explained that he wasn't referring to regular davening. Obviously, everybody goes, shakos, mincha, ma'ariv. What he meant was the little davenings in between, the additions from them, from the heart, right? That makes a difference. There's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, just to finish off, about how many times a day a person has to daven midaraisa. So the Ramban says that only a nes tzara. Rambam says at least once, but only a nes tzara a person has to mitzvah to daven midaraisa. So they tell the story about the Brisker Rav, who tried to be yotze every single time. He heard about someone's troubles, he would whisper, Lishuascha kivisi Hashem. Right? That's a pasuk in Parshas Vayechi that Yaakov Avinu said to Dan, right? The tefillah that Rashi says, right? For Shimshon after he would be captured by the Plishnim. But the Brisker Rav would say, Lishuascha kivisi Hashem. I'm waiting for Hashem to give you salvation. And he would truly internalize the right. Everybody, every single Jew, he put himself in his shoes, in their shoes, and daven for them. Right, that he considered to be an eis tzara, right? And he felt that was a mitzvah daraisa to daven for that person because he felt that it was a time of troubles for them. That's what we're talking about each and every right, over here, right? That each and every Jew, every single person, you hear about a person's issues. Doesn't have to be a long tefillah, shir malos, davening, sackcloth. No, but a little bit. It's just a little bit of. A little bit of tefillah, right? It's an incredible midah. Again, it's a high level, but it'll only have fruits for yourself because, again, a person who davens, right? Chazal say the person who davens for someone else will have to have success in a certain area, right? Will be blessed with that area, with themselves. Okay, but not even for that reason, right? That we should all be able to attach ourselves to the tzaras of other Jews, right? And really feel their plight and daven for them. And therefore, we will all see Yeshuos in the coming days. Amen. Ken Yiratzon. Have a good Chodesh and have a good Shabbos.